Now, what if I were to say to you, congratulations on your dream house? A colonial with lots of character, with the wide floorboards. That's a good feeling. But then what if I said, it's going to be a money pit. My in-laws got a beautiful old Victorian when they were younger, and it's been nothing but work. You never get money out of houses like that. Is there bad news behind the good news? The gospel means good news. And the essence of that is in a verse from our gospel that we read today, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, they have eternal life. Through this verse, countless people have come to know the Lord and experience conversion. They believe in him and so are saved from a life that was leading them away from God, not only now, but for eternity, all by believing in him. And that is something to rejoice about on Laetare Sunday. But have you ever heard someone say, yeah, a lot of joy comes when people first hear the gospel, but just wait. Christian life is hard. It's like saying there's bad news behind the good news. And the idea here has some truth to it, for sure. I mean, there are a lot of sacrifices in being a Christian, and a lot of that is not so much to be joyful about. And this is true not only in a vacuum. This is not abstract. It has to do with how we work out our salvation in the different circumstances of life. You become a Christian and you ask for God's blessings and you're in relationship with God at these different milestones that you see as being given by him. Which reminds me of when we were newly married and first attended a new church, having moved to St. Louis. And about a year later, someone said to me, you know, I probably shouldn't share this with you, but we used to refer to you and Abby as the happy couple. There's some cynicism in that. They're happy because they're just married, but just wait. And this is also true. A priest told me after ordination, you know, after a year, it's not the same. Then the hidden crosses that you didn't expect, that's when they come to the fore. And insert your own situation there, the new job, whatever it might be, the new car. Is there bad news behind the good news? But if we truly understand the gospel, then we can truly say, ultimately, it's all good news. How? Well, that comes, as we believe, not in just in a point in time for our salvation, but as we continue to believe. Now, just saying that might sound a little superficial, because, of course, there's a lot of trouble in a fallen world, and it's difficult to be faithful in the midst of it. We encounter that. And it's especially true when challenges ratchet up. When, let's just take the context of marriage, when the romance fades and the husband is balding and portly now, and, you know, is this couple going to be just as happy as they were in the beginning? But here's the thing, is that God does not save us so that we could prove ourselves to him. He saves us not just for an initial religious experience, but he saves us so that he can prove himself to us. Salvation is not a point in time, but if you remember math, what array is, you remember the description of array, in your math textbooks, the diagram of array, there's a point and then there's a line with an arrow. It keeps on going. That's the grace that we receive through faith. And at the end of our passage here, and of our gospel, there's a reference to those whose deeds have been wrought in God. So as we continue to walk with him and believe in him, we find that he never leaves us, he never forsakes us in these challenges, and especially in these challenges. And all this is especially made clear in our gospel reading. Our epistle readings. Let's go through that and see how this is unpacked for us. It begins, "But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even though we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." That's like John 3:16. That's the initial point in time, your baptism, or when you embrace Christ, you embrace that baptism through a conversion in a very compelling way at some point in life. But in talking about this passage, I once heard a Catholic priest on the radio quoting it, and it was very moving because he was continuing to talk about this passage and the immeasurable riches of his grace. And it was as if he was lifting us up to the heights of God's intervention in our life, until he said, "By grace you have been saved through faith," and then he stopped and added, "and works." Now, why did he do that? It's actually not in the passage here. Not right at that point in the passage. I think he was because he's heard over and over again through catechism, in the Catholic Church, we're saved by faith and works. Well, that's true. But by stopping there, he took out the power of this passage to see the context of those works, how we work out our salvation. It's almost like this. If you just stop right there, it's almost like, here's the good news by grace, and then it's all on you. Now work. That would be what we call the bad news behind the good news, if it's on you. And so, if we continue, though, with how Paul does, he says, yes, by grace you've been saved through faith, but then he says, this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. So we're never called to prove ourselves to God, lest we should have something to boast about. But salvation is never simply that. It is a continual gift of grace. Now let's consider this young couple. If everything continued to go well for this young couple, the happy couple, they would look at other couples and say, well, what's wrong with them? They would think they have something to tell these people. They would think they had something to boast about. But as we go through life, whether it's the career or the marriage or the religious life or whatever it might be, we get to the point where we realize that we have nothing to boast about because we do encounter adversity and we get to the end of our strength and we find that we get to the point where we cannot work it out. And that is where grace comes in all the more. And we become more beautiful because of these difficult times. When the husband gets bald and portly and the romance goes away, this is when there has to be a more conscious decision to live out marriage in charity by laying down one's life in more substantial ways. And this is when the marriage becomes more beautiful. When the boss becomes difficult and that initial job that everyone said congratulations about becomes more of a challenge and there are adversities and unexpected difficulties, but you persevere. This is when your life becomes more beautiful. Because this is when we can understand where Paul continues, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So he prepares this adversity so that he can give us his grace, and he's all the more glorified in that. This word workmanship here in the Greek means a work of art. And just like Michelangelo, you may have heard it said that he would see the statue in the marble before it's chiseled out. That's how you are by your baptism, at your point of conversion. He sees what you can be. There is beauty in there. But it's seen after the chiseling. That's when the beauty is made manifest to the world. And this is the way of salvation. Yes, you are saved, but you are being saved as you become more beautiful, as you receive grace where the rubber hits the road in these challenges, as that ray continues from that initial point of conversion. So how do you believe? Grace is given for what God requires. If you're doing something and there's no grace for it, then maybe God doesn't require it. But if God puts you into a circumstance, and as hard as it is, and you have no choice but to continue in it, then there will be grace to persevere. God's glory is shown in adversity, and this is a promise. This is something that you can bank on. So scripture is fulfilled with examples of this, of people walking out the good works that God prepared beforehand. Would the people of Israel have asked for the Egyptians to pursue them after they left? But then there was the first step into the Red Sea as they walked out and the grace came. How about the well that was dry? You know, where they said, sing, oh well, and then it came. God's glory was shown in that. Or when Isaiah said, rejoice, O barren woman, that means that the baby was not there when it was desired. And the Blessed Virgin Mary had to rejoice, not knowing how to go forward, but to walk out this salvation in adversity. And so we could go on and on and on, continuing with your life and my life from this point forward. So is there bad news behind the good news? It's all good news. So what about that Victorian house that my mitten-laws had? Yes, it truly was a money pit. It still is. But they have raised a family there. And they've worked on this house together, and they have grown closer together as they replaced floors, and they had their son-in-law paint the side of the house for the outdoor reception, wedding reception the week before the wedding. These were actually good times. And so praise God for how he enables us to experience his grace, who always meets us where we are. And let us show that grace to others as we incarnate him in love.